Alexia. This whole idea that the Beis Hamikdash is intimately connected with Hashgacha and Hashem answering our tefillos. So with that in mind, right? Like, I mean, as Shlomo said, Shlomo says, like, Hashem, you don't need my house, right? It's not a house for God. God does not need a house. As Navi Yeshayahu says, "Eis a bayis tivnu li," right? What house could you possibly build for me? Right, and the idea that no, it's there as a place where, you know, Hashem will consistently answer us. So the Gemara in Brachos Lama Beis Mabeis says, "Amar Rabbi Elazar, miyom shachar Beis Hamikdash, ninalu sharei tefila." From the day that Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the gates of tefila were locked. Shneamar gam ki ezak va'avasheya sasam tefilasi. So Rabbi Elazar quotes the pasuk in Eicha, where Yirmiyahu Navi says, after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, I cry out, right, and I daven, but my tefillah has been sealed. That is the idea that the gates of tefillah have been locked in the aftermath of the Churban. Now, in light of what we just learned in Sefer Melachim Perek Ches, what Shlomo is focusing on upon the construction of the Beis Hamikdash, we can understand what this means. Why are we focusing on tefillah in particular? The Beis Hamikdash is there as a point of closeness between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we enter the realm of Galus, and Hashem is no longer as close to us as he was, so we can daven, we can cry out, but we're no longer living under the same consistent Hashgacha. Hashem leaves us to Teva, the world of Hester Panim, and you know, good luck. And that's what Yirmiyahu is mourning upon the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara has a very interesting piece upon this before we see the next thing Rabbi Elazar says. It says, Afal pi shesharei tefila ninalu, even though the gates of tefila have been locked, sharei dima lo ninalu. There is a way in which we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just like we were able to when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, namely the gates of tears, right? Crying, in other words, if we can muster, you know, really powerful tefillos, so that can still break through. Shneamar, Shim'a tefila si Hashem, v'shava si hazina. Right, so hear my tefillah Hashem. Right, listen to my prayer. El dim'a si al techarash. Do not be deaf to my tears. So Rashi there explains on the Gemara that the pasuk is kind of strange. Hashem, listen to my tefillah. Hashem, listen to my cry. Hashem, listen to my tears. How do you listen to tears? You don't listen to tears. If the pasuk had said "El bichiyasi al techarash," if it don't, you know, don't be deaf to my crying, that I can understand. But you're not deaf to tears. The equivalent should have been to be blind to tears, right? You wouldn't see the person weeping. It doesn't really fit in the pasuk. So Rashi explains what the Gemara means is the gates of tears are not locked. Therefore, we are able to appear before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we daven and we cry, Hashem sees it. We're allowed in the room. And then the tefillah is, look, now that I'm here, do not ignore the fact that I'm crying, right? So you see my tears. Once you see my tears, because that's guaranteed, then the prayer is, don't you know, don't be deaf to them, meaning do not ignore them. But I think that's what Rabbi Elazar is getting at. Exactly what we said in the construction of the Mikdash. The whole point is that relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once that is severed because we enter the realm of Galus, so immediately our tefillah was not answered the way it had been in the time of the Mikdash. The idea that what's behind the Mikdash consequences for the acceptance of our tefillos is the broader question of the relationship between Hashem and Am Yisrael, the nature of Hashgacha, to what extent is Hashem you know, supervising and offering providence over every detail of our lives, seems to be confirmed by the very next line of the Gemara. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar continues, and he says, "Miyom shacharav Beis Hamikdash," from the time that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, "nifsek chomas barzel bein Yisrael la'aviyam shabashamayim." So an iron wall was made to block between Yisrael and their father in heaven. Clearly focusing on the relationship and the disconnect in the aftermath of the Churban. That's what Galus is all about. So we daven for the Beis Hamikdash, you know, all the time, every single day. It's not just because we want to have, you know, have a Beis Hamikdash. We want that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which Shlomo HaMelech is celebrating in Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, in which we are mourning here in the Galus. Shneamar, Va'ata, this is in beginning of Yechezkel, the fourth chapter of Yechezkel. So Hashem says to Yechezkel, "Kach lacha machavas barzel." So he's going to take a big iron pan, So Yechezkel's also trying to make a diagram of the diorama of the Chorban of Yerushalayim, and so he has a big iron wall blocking between him and between the city. Rav Kook in the Einayah over here is commentary to the Agados of Brachos. So he has a couple of interesting comments about the symbolism of being an iron wall. He says, first of all, unlike stone, good news and bad news. Stone, unlike iron, if it was a stone wall, it would be brick by brick. Iron, you forge the iron wall and then you put it up. It's prefab, right? You take the iron wall, you bring it to the spot, and then you just plop it down. So the bad news of the iron wall is that it descends instantly, right? 1 minute there's nothing, and then all of a sudden on the 8th of Av, we were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Boom, the 9th of Av, the world changes, and we're in a realm of Korban. The good news is that just like an iron wall can be erected instantly, it can also be knocked down instantly, right? When the Gula comes to Mirat Hashem, right? So that wall can be, just popped right down, and then we'll be back with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's similar to something I think I heard Rami Tal quoted as saying when we say on Sukkot, right? Achman hu yakim lanu es sukkas David hanofalas. Right? So why is the house of David a sukkah, a booth? It should be like a palace. No, shouldn't David's house be like a royal palace? So the answer is, once again, there's bad news and good news. The bad news is, especially living in Chicago, your sukkah on Sukkot, there's no guarantee it's going to last the whole Yontif, right? It can fall down more readily than a permanent structure. The good news is that just like the sukkah can fall down more readily, it could also be rebuilt very quickly. You could put back up a fallen sukkah much more quickly than you could, put back up a collapsed palace. I think of Rami Tal, so that's why the house of David is compared to a sukkah. Because yeah, it can fall. We know we're going to have galus, but we also know that it's going to be built back up. So Rav Kook has a comment about that, about the iron wall. He also has a comment. He says iron is the antithesis of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is such a place of peace. As we know, we saw Shlomo HaMelech went to such great lengths to avoid having iron anywhere, even in the vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, upon the destruction, the iron comes down, right? The symbol of death and destruction, the symbol of the blocking between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our Father in heaven. So I think all the Gemaras over here about the aftermath of the Churban is just the mirror image of what Shlomo is celebrating, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closeness, the hashgacha, the answering our tfilos, which is what the purpose of the construction of the Mikdash originally was all about. And I think that really helps focus for us what we daven for when we want the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. Okay. So far I've seen parts one and two of Shlomo's tefillah. Part one was the introduction and the shed of praise and thanking Hashem for fulfilling his covenant with David HaMelech. Part two was probably the longest part where David went through all sorts of various crises that could occur. We pointed out, you total it up, it's 10 different crises, right? Like the perfect total number. Anything that goes wrong will come to the Mikdash and daven to Hashem. Now we have part three and part four. Part three is the shortest part of the tefillah. But it is one which definitely fits the themes of the Mikdash that we've seen so far, and really of Shlomo's whole entire reign. Namely, not only is Shlomo focused on his reign in the Mikdash for Am Yisrael, but Shlomo has international ambitions. He wants the whole world to see the greatness of Yiddishkeit, the whole world to see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that we're going to try to be Magayer everybody. In fact, I think the Gemara says they dissuaded conversion during the time of Shlomo HaMelech and the Sanhedrin. But we want the Goyim to see what the Torah is about, and they should accept the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and so we daven for an Aleinu every single day, right? The Chol B'nei Vaser, Yikru V'shmecha, Ha'afnos Lecha Kol Rashi Erev is going to come. This V'gamel HaNachri, Asher Lo Me'amcha Yisraelu. You have a stranger. People will come from all around to Yerushalayim. That's the vision that Shlomo has. Ki yishmeun eshimcha hagadol vesyadcha chazaka uzracha. They'll have heard of your great name, by your mighty hand, your outstretched arm. Of course, another reference here to Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? That theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which has been running as a current throughout the whole Mikdash narrative. Shlomo brings that here, Yad Chazaka Zro Netuya. That's, of course, Hashem's description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon Yetzias Mitzrayim. Uba behispalel el abayas hazeh. Right, he'll come and he'll daven towards this house. And what's going to happen? Ata tishma hashamayim mechon shivtecha. Once again, Shlomo says, Hashem, you don't dwell in the Mikdash. Hashem dwells in Shemayim, as Shlomo has said over and over and over again. The point of the Mikdash is not to have a house, but as a place for tefillah. People will come to the Mikdash, they'll daven. You'll be in Shemayim, but you will hear. Just like Hashem answers our tefillos in the Mikdash, Hashem will answer the non-Jews' tefillos in the Mikdash. So all the nations of the world will know your name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Li-Yira Oscha, to fear you, Ka'amcha Yisrael, just like Am Yisrael fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'ladas ki Shimcha Nikra Al HaBayis HaZereh Shabanisi, and they'll all know that Hashem's name is upon this house that I have built. So it's the international ambition of Shlomo HaMelech. Rashi has an interesting diuk over here about the difference between how Hashem will answer the tefillos of the non-Jews versus how Hashem will answer the tefillos of the Jews. Rashi points out that when it's a non-Jew, so Shlomo just says, Kechol asher yikra elacha hanachri. Whatever the non-Jew comes to daven for in the Mikdash is going to get answered. Right? You daven, Hashem answers you. So Rashi notes in Yisrael who Omer, when the Jews were davening four psukim ago, back in Pasuk Lamed Tes, Shlomo had said, V'nasata le'ish kechol derachav. You'll give the person, right, according to his ways. So, meaning Hashem will take care of us. Hashem will give us what we need. So why is it that when the Jew davens, he gets what he needs? When the guy davens, he gets whatever he wants. So Rashi explains that Yisrael. So we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know Hashem is HaKol Yachol. We know Hashem can do whatever he wants. And then ain't tefilas neshmas. If Chas Shalom we daven and the davening is not accepted, so we have the religious sophistication to understand that our tefillah could be not listened to, not because of a defect in the Kaddosh Baruch Hu, but because of a problem with us. You know, even though if the person is davening in the Mikdash, it could be he had a problem, he had a sin, and he did not deserve to have his tefillah answered. Hashem hears the tefillah, that's the guarantee in the Mikdash, but Hashem can decide that the tefillah is not does not deserve to be answered in an affirmative fashion. That's the case when it comes to Bnei Yisrael. However, it comes to the non-Jews, the guy, if he's not answered, so he's going to challenge God. I traveled to the end of the reputation of this house extends to the ends of the world. This is an internationally famous house. I schlepped on so many highways to get here. I traveled so far and so hard to get to this Beis HaMikdash place in Jerusalem. The Lomatsasi, and I didn't find anything in here. Geshem Shein Mamash Bavodazara. I dive into Zeus and I dive into Baal. I dive into those temples and nothing happened. I come to the temple in Jerusalem and nothing happens either. It's going to be a Chil Hashem. So the non-Jews have a certain leverage, Kaviyachal over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore explains Rashi, Shlomo davens lafichach kechol asher yikra elecha hanafri. Anything that the Nachmi davens for, Shlomo wants to have the tefillah be accepted, even if he doesn't deserve it on an individual level. On the more general level, this will advance the cause of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Bnei Yisrael, we're on a higher level. If we're not answered, we know this is a pagam in us. It's not a pagam in Hashem, and therefore Shlomo says that Hashem can be more selective in terms of answering our tefillos than in terms of answering the tefillos of the non-Jews. But the general point to just take away is definitely Shlomo's international ambition for his whole rule and for this Beis HaMikdash. As Yeshaya says, Ki Beisi Beis Tefila Yikare, L'chol Ha'amim, we want the Beis HaMikdash to be an international place. Okay. The last part of the tefillah, in many ways, maybe it could be the most important one, which is what happens when at least we go into exile? Unclear if Shlomo is talking about the destruction of the Mikdash, but at least you have Jews who are exiled. So how is Hashem going to answer them if they can't come to the Beis HaMikdash? So Shlomo writes, or Shlomo crawls at Davids. So if we have a war with our enemies, right? So first of all, we're on the road. We're no longer in the Mikdash because we're at the front. Obviously, we're going to daven at the front. So what are we going to do? V'hispalalu el Hashem. So we can't daven in the Mikdash because we're not there. But we daven towards Hashem. Derech ha'ir asher bacharta bo. We will face the Beis HaMikdash. Habayas asher banisi lishmecha. Right? This is what we do till this very day. No? Like we daven and we daven towards the Beis HaMikdash. Exactly as Shlomo was describing. We don't have the luxury of being there because sometimes you have to go out and go to war. So you daven towards the Mikdash. And Hashem will answer. You will hear the tefillah from heaven, and you will do exactly what they need. I think. Let me check the Mefarshim on this for a second. Oh, not yet. Okay. Right, as Bar Bedell points out, this is happening even though we're in Chutz La'aretz. Now, that's going to happen if we're victorious, but we're not going to win every battle. What happens if we had sinned? What happens if we lose? And points out Shlomo, it's not like an ayin hara to raise this possibility. He says, "Ki yachtechu lach, ki ein adam asher lo yachata." Everybody sins at some point. Everybody makes mistakes. So inevitably, even upon the dedication of the Mikdash, I do need to prepare for what's going to happen if there's going to be if there's going to be failure, right? And Hashem leaves us to our enemies, and we are taken away into exile. Vishovum shoveihem al aratz. We could be taken into exile, a close exile or a distant exile. But now what's going to happen? We're not in the Mikdash. So says Shlomo, it's the last tefillah. They'll do tshuva in the land where they were exiled. And they'll admit their sins in the land of their captivity. And they'll do tshuva. And they'll daven towards Hashem. So what's going to happen? They'll daven towards Hashem, towards the Yerushalayim, towards the Mikdash. And once again, v'shamata. So you will listen, right? Ideally, Hashem will listen from far away when we daven the first time before the battle, and then we'll win. If we lose and we're exiled, so we still have that connection available with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can hear our tefillos from far away in exile, and we'll do tshuva. He'll hear it, and he'll bring us back. Hashem will forgive us. V'salachta. He'll forgive us. Then v'irachamim. Hashem will instill mercy in our captors, which the Radak says this is an anticipation of Koresh, what Koresh is going to do in the beginning of Sefer Ezra when he allows Bnei Yisrael to go back to Yerushalayim to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. And then Shlomo concludes this last great bakasha of saying, "Please forgive us and hear our tefillos, even when we are not proximate to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're not proximate because we sin." And so Shlomo closes with once again bringing back Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ki amcha kur habarzel. Right, that you took out of Mitzrayim, you took out of the iron furnace. Right, the iron furnace, the original galus purified us. Right, when we were in Mitzrayim, so the second galus can purify us again, and that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can remain intact. Okay, so those are the four parts of the tefillah. Again, part one, the bris with David. Part two, the general request that it be a place where our tefillos are answered. Part three, the ambitious request. Not only should our tefillos be answered, but even the tefillos of all the non-Jews who are going to come from all over to the Beis HaMikdash, their tefillah should be answered. And Hashem should be recognized not only nationally by Bnei Yisrael, but internationally. And finally, part four, as Shlomo says, we're going to sin. We're all going to sin. And eventually, we're going to be distanced from Yerushalayim, distanced from the Mikdash. So please, Hashem, continue answering our tefillos even in that situation. Okay. Then Shlomo now concludes, Lios einacha pesuchos al tefilas avdacha, right? Your eyes should be open to the supplication of your servants, v'al tachinas amcha Yisrael, lishmoa alein b'chol karam elacha. Right? So you'll listen to Shlomo. You'll listen to Am Yisrael. You separated us out as inheritance from all the nations of the earth. Where do we know that from? Moshe, right? He ends his tefillah with invoking Hashem's name. He ends his tefillah with Moshe Rabbeinu. He ends his tefillah with Yetzias Mitzrayim once again. And we should note a very careful balance that we have here in the Hashkafa of Shlomo HaMelech. Where on the one hand, he is the most, you probably could argue that Shlomo is the most internationally focused Eved Hashem, probably since Avraham Avinu. No, who since Avraham has spent so much time and effort trying to bring recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the outside world, right? And yet, even yet, as that is the case, how does he close his tefillah? By balancing that with the recognition of the uniqueness of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael in particular. The after hivdaltam lachal nachala mikal ami aretz. Right, and that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. The Malbim has an interesting line where he says that he has a tefillah at the end of it here that you should hear our tefillos, even when we're in total galus, even chutz la'aretz. Hashem should answer our tefillos. and there's no Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we do the best we can. Fine. That is finally the end of Shlomo's long, long, long 30 pasuk tefillah. Now, let's get to the end of the parak. So pasuk nun dalet, Vayhi ki chalosh Shlomo lehispala el Hashem. So Shlomo finishes davening. He's called tefillah batchina hazos. Come milifnei mizbeach Hashem. He arose from in front of the mizbeach. Mikroa al birkav, from being down on his knees, vekapav prusas hashamayim, with his palms spread towards shamayim. So now this is right. We talked about this like I think the beginning of last week's shiur, but you have to go to the end of the parak to see what Shlomo actually looked like the whole time he was davening. Remember, we saw the pasuk in Devar HaYamim, they built the whole platform so everybody could see Shlomo. Shlomo for 30 psukim, he's davening down on his knees with his palms up towards Shamayim. So now he gets up. He gets up because the tefillah is over, and he turns from tefillah to bracha. Vayamod vayevarech es kol kahal Yisrael kol gadolim. So Shlomo gives a bracha, and this bracha should sound very familiar because a lot of this has gone into our davening. What does Shlomo Melech say? Baruch Hashem asher nasa menucha la'amo Yisrael kol asher diber. Right. So Baruch Hashem, who gave rest to Am Yisrael, Mefarshim point out, this was the promise the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, right? Ki yaniach Hashem lokacha, when Hashem gives you respite from all your enemies, so you'll build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Pasuk then includes, lo nafal davar echad mikol davar atov asher diber biyad Moshe avdav. Right. Everything that he promised Moshe has come true. We are living in the generation of Geula. We get to see the whole thing. Let me scroll down for 1 second, because I want to try to capture like the gratitude that Bnei Yisrael have for here. The Malbim commenting on this pasuk, Baruch Hashem Asher Nasa Menucha. So the Malbim says, Kfar Biyarti, this is back in Perek Shmuel Beis, Perek Zion, when David first wants to build a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash lo haya efshari kol zman shelo haya Yisrael Menucha min ha'ayven. As long as they're enemies, Bnei Yisrael could not build a Beis HaMikdash. Now, if we put ourselves in the shoes of Bnei Yisrael during the times of the Shoftim, or the time of Shmuel, or the time of Shaul, or the time of David, when they're being attacked constantly, being attacked by the Plishtim, being attacked by Amalek, attacked by Ammon, attacked by Moab, attacked by Aram, attacked by Edom, attacked by the Canaanim, there are enemies literally everywhere. And they know there's this like promise that, yeah, one day you'll have peace from all your enemies and you'll build a Beis HaMikdash. Can we imagine probably how many Jews must have totally despaired that such a thing could ever take place? Right? It's impossible. Now, look at the Middle East right now. We can relate. Imagine a day where, you know, there are no attacks from Gaza or the West Bank or Iran or Syria or Lebanon or Yemen. Attacked all around. And Jews have been in itself for over 400 years, nonstop combat, north, south, east, west. The idea that it would all be gone and we just like have peace and could build a Beis HaMikdash, that was a dream. And I know who could imagine it would actually happen. David HaMelech had a dream. David HaMelech thought that they could wanted to pull it off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not yet. So when you achieve it, right? So it becomes like the peace is the most, we take peace and health most for granted, right? Like you wake up in the morning and you're healthy and you wake up in the morning and there's no war happening outside and you get up and you eat breakfast and you go to work and you come home and you have dinner and you go to sleep. So it's a natural thing in the world, right? Unless you've never had it before. And Klal Yisrael haven't had it for hundreds of years. So Shlomo, upon the completion of the construction of Beis HaMikdash, she begins his bracha by saying, guys, we need to appreciate what we have, right? We thought this is going to be impossible. This is a dream, but we have it. We have a reality where all our enemies have been subdued. We have peace. Lo nafal davar echa mikol devar hatov. Not a single thing didn't happen. And look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And now we have the Mikdash. Then Shlomo continues the bracha, and it continues like the constant connection to Yetzias Mitzrayim and Moshe Rabbeinu. And right, this passage sounds familiar, right? Yihi Hashem Elokeinu imanu kasher haya mavosenu. Al Yazvena Val Yachenu. Like you hear the Simchas Torah vibe in the background. In fact, this pasuk got picked up into there. May Hashem be with us, just like He was with our forefathers. Al Yazvena Val Yachenu. We want this to continue, right? The construction of the Mikdash is not the end of history. It should just be the beginning, right? Things should continue being this way. Lahatas Lavino Elav, Lalachas Chol Duracha, Leshmer Mitzosav, Chuka Meshvata, Vashretziva Sabosenu. We need help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even in a realm of Geula, even when we have a Mikdash, even we have that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's hard to follow the mitzvos. And Shlomo knows that the success of his reign will depend on Klal Yisrael's continued observance of the mitzvos. So Hashem, please help us out. Okay. Another pasuk which has been picked up. Oh, always a second. So Shlomo Davins, the tefillah he just had should be close to Hashem, Yom Valayla, night and day. We'll look at the Malbim on this in a second. Lasos Mishpat Avdo Umishpat Amo Yisrael Dvar Yom Biyomo. May take care of us. May take care of what we need every single day. Again, this seems to be the focus on Hashkacha, right? May Hashem be close to us. May Hashem be focused on us day and night and constantly taking care of what we need, right? Now, the Malbim points out that there are two kinds of hashkacha. There's hashkacha, which is occasional, right? Which is like koleles. The whole world is judged on Rosh Hashanah, right? So that happens. When is the world judged? Once a year. So the world goes to Kadosh Baruch Hu once a year, right? That's one model of hashkacha. We have the annual Yom HaDin. What Shlomo is davening for is to have not just, you know, like the model of hashkacha where Hashem checks in on us periodically. Rather, lif'amim tiyeh pratis kavua yom b'yom. We want constant hashkacha. We want to be like close to Hashem. Oh, sorry, day and night, right? Night and day. Pratis kavua yom b'yom k'mashkasa rabbi yosi adam nidam b'chol yom. Right? We judge every day, not just on Rosh Hashanah. You know, we want every day. That constant, consistent connection, that hashkacha, is when we're doing the mitzvos. The epitome of that, the Malbim writes, was we had the Midbar, the period of Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Hashem gave us the man every single day, gave us our portion of food, specifically and uniquely tailored to each person and family, every single day. So that's exactly what Shlomo is davening for. Bike Shlomo shetzfila sotia krov al Hashem tamid be'enyin shetu'uar tamid panav veshkachaso alav ba'alamo. The whole idea of the closeness of the hashkacha, so it should be a consistent daily phenomenon, just like we had in the Midbar in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. Shlomo concludes the tefila, or concludes the bracha. Again, a familiar pasuk. L'man das kol ami aretz ki Hashem hu elokim ein od. Again, the international ambitions. Right? If Hashem is close to us, so everyone will know that Hashem is the true God. Right? And we should always be keeping the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like we are today. You know, today it's very easy to keep the mitzvahs. May we continue, right? So that's how Shlomo closes off. Okay, great. Three more psukim, and then we're done. Something like that. Almost there. I think it's three. Oh no, five more psukim. Pasuk Samach Beis. So they're offering karbanos. Now, what kind of carbon? So a zevach is usually a carbon shlamim, and sure enough, the next pasuk confirms that. Shlomo offers the zevach shlamim, the peace offering. Now, we should note a couple of things. First of all, the sheer number of animals that are brought over here. Bakar esrim ushnayim elef, 22,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep. This is an immense number of karbanos. So we said before, it's interesting, the role of karbanos plays seems to be less focused on here for the dedication of the mikdash than it was for the dedication of the mishkan, which we'll read about Parshas Tzav and Parshas Shmini. But both at the beginning of the parak and at the end of the parak, the Navi did emphasize, they're bringing an unbelievable number of karbanos, like a mind-boggling number, which will actually have potential halachic consequences that we'll see in the next pasuk. Not only, though, are they bringing many, many karbanos, but I think it is very important that the carbon that they're bringing is the carbon shlamim. There are two primary models of the carbon. This is this week's parsha Vayikra. You have the carbon ola, which is given to emphasize really the distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the submission we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just offer something and it should go all the way up to Shemayim, right? Literally, ola. It's entirely burnt. I have the feeling I just want to give, and I just want to show my feeling of that I submit and I give everything and I surrender it and I burn it and I send it all the way up to Shemayim. That's why at the Akedah, Hashem specifically tells Avraham Avinu to offer Yitzchak as an ola, by the way, in this exact spot on Har HaMoriah, because the idea of submission and surrender and the infinite distance between mortal man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what Avram is asked to surrender to at the Akedah, and that's the model of the Karban Ola. The Shlamim, on the other hand, is the peace offering. The peace offering emphasizes the closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I'll say everyone's a partner in the Karban Shlamim. Some of the meat goes to the Mizbeach, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some of the meat goes to the Kohanim, and some of the meat goes to the owners, right? The regular Baalim consume from the same Karban. It's the Karban which emphasizes unity and closeness. So it shouldn't be surprising, given everything that Shlomo has talked about, what the Mikdash is supposed to represent, that it is the Karban Shlamim that he really focuses on here in Pasuk Samach Gimel, right? Thousands and thousands of Karban Shlamims. This is a moment for really emphasizing the closeness that we have with the Ribbono Shel. Now, the Abarbanel quotes a really, really interesting drasha, which, if we unpack it, there's even more to this than what he first quotes. So this is great. Obviously, it's really connected to the Parshat HaShavua. So the Malbim says, he quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, that when the Mishkan was built, so the Nesiim bring their karbanos, right? Which the laning for Parshas for Hanukkah, we go through it, and it seems kind of long. But compared to this, it's nothing. They bring like some animals, some ketores. Okay. So Tanchuma says, Keshehukam ha-mishkan hekribu Nesiim doron, the Nesiim offered a gift. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kachu kvodi. Hashem, says the Medrash, was unimpressed by the gifts of the Nesiim. So they're getting poor Nesiim, right? Like we blasted the Nesiim in Parshas Vayakel, right? Now we for being lazy. Now we blasted the Nesiim for not giving like 140,000 animals like Shlomo does. So the Nesiim defend themselves. Amrulay, the Nesiim said, "Rabbanu olam, b'midbar anu yoshvim. We're in the desert. Ukufi amidbar ekravnu lefanacha. We gave a gift which is appropriate given our current setting, living in the desert with a Mishkan." When you enter your palace, the real Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaMikdash, Ataroa, Kama Karbanos, Kama Parim, Nakir Lefanecha. You'll see how many Karbanos we're going to offer when we have the real show, which is going to be the dedication of the Mikdash. Now, what's the source for this? Harehu Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Tehillim Nun Aleph, Yotes, Heitiva Vertzoncha Es Tzion, right? It'll be good with your Ratzon towards Tzion, the Gomer. Uz tachbots zivke tzedek. Then you will desire the righteous zvachim, the karbanos shlamim, and the ola and the kala, those are the burnt offerings, karbanos ola. Uz yalu al mizbechacha parim. Then the cows will go up onto your mizbeach. So what's this, ultimate ambition? Eluhim karbanos shel Shlomo. So that's the read of the pasuk over here, right? One day we'll have the real goal, which is the karbanos of Shlomo HaMelech. Right, so you see, great, the success of Shlomo. Okay, now something that's really interesting to unpack, and we'll see Rashi get to this, is what perek is this in Tehillim, the source for the Medrash that Chazal are bringing here, that in the time of the Mishkan, we anticipate the full flowering of the relationship between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, the full dedication only happening in Shlomo's time with his karbanos. It is specifically the Parak Nun Aleph, which begins, "Lamnaseach Mizmula David, Bivo Elav Nasan Hanavi Kasher Ba El Vashem." This is Shlomo's Mizmor of Tshuva. In the aftermath of the sin of Bathsheba, that he begs for mercy and for forgiveness. And at the end of the Mizmor, he says, "Hashem that's where this one is, comes from. We should know. We say this every day. We should know which Mizmor it comes from. David says, you don't want the wicked karbanos, right? You don't want emptiness. Rather, Hashem wants, right, the crushed heart, the real tshuva. And then once there's tshuva, then you'll desire Yerushalayim and you'll desire the karbanos of the tzaddikim." In other words, well, let's put it this way: why can't David build the Beis HaMikdash? So it happens to be the Abarbanel himself thinks that David can't build the Beis HaMikdash because of the sin of Bathsheba, which is very interesting. He thinks that that's the and killing Uriah Hittite. the idea down the rub shafach, you spilled too much blood. The Abarbanel actually thinks it means David's mistake with Uriah. So especially if we say it that way, but even if we don't go that far, the idea that the sign that David's sin has finally and totally been forgiven will be what? When David's own son from Bathsheba builds a Beis HaMikdash where all the karbanos are accepted, right? And that is the moment that is happening right here, where you have Shlomo, son of David and Bathsheba, who is building the Mikdash. The moment that David was dreaming of, when he's killing himself with his regret and his tshuva, he says, "One day heitiv chabertzoncha tzion." So that's what Chazal are saying. That moment is happening right now. That's the Abarbanel is getting at. That's what the Medrash is getting at. And we'll see in 1 minute, Rashi is getting at that as well. Let's look at the next pasuk. So Vayomahu, on that day. So actually, let me which Rashi? Yeah, okay, great. Very. Vayomahu kiddush hamelach es tocha chater. So Shlomo sanctifies the courtyard. There's a long discussion in the Gemara in Zvachim. It goes on for like three blot, the Nun Tes through Samach Aleph, how to read this pasuk. We're not going to get into the details of it, but we should just know the two basic options. The pasuk says, "Vayomahu kiddush hamelach es tocha chatzer." So the king sanctified the inner of the courtyard, asher lifnei beis Hashem, which is before the actual house. This is the area where the mizbeach is. We call the chatzer, the courtyard. Ki asa or the azara, ki asa sham es ha'olav es ha'mincha v'eschal v'hashlamim. That is where he offered all the karbanos. Ki mizbach hanachoshes asher lifnei Hashem katon me'achil es ha'olav es ha'mincha v'eschal v'hashlamim. The copper mizbeach was too small to handle all the karbanos. So there, first of all, what does it mean? If the mizbeach can't handle the karbanos, what is he doing exactly? And furthermore, why are we talking about a copper mizbeach if the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash was made out of stone? So the Gemara has two basic opinions. One opinion is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Shlomo does not only sanctify the mizbeach itself. Shlomo sanctifies the entire floor of the courtyard. The entire courtyard of the mikdash is given the sanctity of mizbeach. And the reason why they need to do that is because the Mizbeach is not large enough to handle all of the karbanos which are being offered here. So they begin building fires right there on the floor of the Azara, and right there on the spot, they're able to offer those extra karbanos. That's how many karbanos they have. The other opinion is that Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara says, no, what the Pasuk is explaining here is why Shlomo had to build a new Mizbeach. The reason why Shlomo couldn't, what's the Mizbach HaNechoshes? The Mizbach HaNechoshes, Rabbi Yossi says, was Moshe's Mizbeach. Moshe's Mizbeach was small. So we replaced the old copper Mizbeach of Moshe with a larger Mizbeach on which to offer all these karbanos. So he reads it the other way, right? That the Mizbach HaNechoshes, the old Mizbach HaNechoshes, was too small to handle the karbanos. That's why we have to build another one. Okay, we should just know the two basic ways of reading the pasuk over there. This machlokes, if the floor of the mikdash was granted the same sanctity as the mizbeach itself because they had so many karbanos. Fine. Last two pasukim. Vayashlom. So they have the chag, which is sukkis. Amo kahal gadol. Everyone is with him. The northern border to the southern border. Everyone's there in Yerushalayim. This amazing moment of achdus. Lifnei Hashem Elokeinu. Shivas yamim v'shivas yam arba'as hayom. Total of 14 days. It's 7 days before Sukkot, so of dedication, and 7 days of partying on Sukkot itself. The Gemara points out if they had 7 days of dedication before Yom Kippur and before Sukkot, that means that they did not observe Yom Kippur that year, which is very interesting, especially in some of the more modern Mefarshim on Achimos, which point out that the avoda in Achimos for Yom Kippur seems to really focus on the rededication and the repurification of the Mishkan or of the Mikdash, right? That's why we have all the tumos of the Mikdash are atoned for on Yom Kippur. So if the Mikdash is brand new, it follows the reason that that can be a year where we can live without a Yom Kippur because the Mikdash doesn't need to be purified. The Mikdash is brand new, and then we have the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't need to fast. We can just go straight to the Mikdash to be with Hashem off the bat. The Gemara says that Bnei Yisrael were very worried if the, what they did was acceptable. But a Paschal comes out and says that what they did was acceptable. Okay, the last pasuk is Bayom Hashmini Shilach Ha'am. So that's also difficult because here it sounds like, at least the way the 1917 JBS translates it, is Shlomo sends them away on the 8th day. So it's hard to believe that he sends them away on the 8th day because the 8th day of Sukkot is called Shmini Atzeres. So it's, you know, I get it. They've been there for a long time. Like it's a little bit early to be leaving. No. So the Gemara explains what it means is that the people asked for permission to leave. And Shlomo said, we've had a good run here. We're going to have Shmini Atzeres. And then tomorrow you guys are going to leave. Shlomo gives them permission to leave the next day. They bless the king. They go to their tents. They all go home. All the good that Hashem did for David and for all of Am Yisrael. So we're at like the high of highs. David is being invoked again, right? That theme. But we have to just close with one comment of Rashi, which just ties back with that piece from the Abarbanel, the Perek Nun Aleph, and Tehillim. Why single out David? Rashi claims, the David Avdo, Laudia Shamach Al Avanosa. Kedisa Boy Cut. The Gemara Boy Cut and says, once we see the construction of the Mikdash, sure enough, as we suggested before, that is the greatest testimony to the full forgiveness of David. The Gemara says that Shlomo wanted to bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The gates were locked. It's the Tehillim, right? Si'u Aron HaSheichem. The gates should lift up their heads. And the Gemara says that the gates only did so once Shlomo invoked the name of David. So David has been forgiven. Tshuva has been complete. The Geula is totally there. Yisrael Amo, Rashi says, Shamach Olam al Avon Yom HaKippurim, as we said before, right? They're on such a high Madrega, they didn't even need Yom Kippur that year. And we close, right? It's like the best of the best. Right? It's like we got to enjoy this while it lasts because it's not going to last long. But we're at full Geula, full closeness. Klal Yisrael is united. The Shlomo is united. They're all with him. They're all in Yerushalayim. The Shechina has just revealed itself publicly. And it's Baruch Hashem. We enjoy it. And now we understand what it's all about, right? And not only just having that, but then the Bnei Yisrael are going to exit this charged with the mission, right? Okay, now we have a Mikdash. Now we have to deserve it. Now we have to keep the mitzvot. Now we have to keep davening. We have this Hashgacha. May it continue and continue. So that's what Shlomo celebrates. And that's what we daven. We should all have returned to us from here at the Yemen. So, wish everyone a Re'el Chempurim, joy, and Rosh Hashem. Looking forward to seeing everybody again next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.